To Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh. Now the Scripture had not yet been written, but the Scripture saith to Pharaoh. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence in Christ's name, that name that's above every name. And we ask in His name that You would be pleased to meet with us and to reveal Yourself to us through Your Word. Lord, give us a reverence for Your Word, knowing it's Your Word written by You, to reveal the glory of Your Son. How we thank You for Him, and we pray that we might be enabled to worship Him in spirit and truth for the glory of Your name. Meet with us. Forgive us of our sins. Be with our friends that aren't here, those that are traveling. We pray for Your mercy and grace upon them. We pray for Your mercy upon our country. We would remember the people in the Ukraine. We pray for Your, Lord, we're so glad You're on the throne, and we know that You do all things well. Be with all Your people wherever they meet together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You've probably heard this as being the watchword of the Reformation. Scriptures alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, and the glory of God alone. And it's been called the watchword of the Reformation. In my opinion, that debases those five statements. This is not something that came up in the Reformation. This is eternal. Now, I read that passage in Romans chapter 9 for this reason. The Scripture saith to Pharaoh. Scripture hadn't even been written. Yet, the Scripture saith to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. In Galatians chapter 3, turn with me there. Galatians chapter 3. Now, this was written hundreds of years before the Scripture was written. Verse 8. And the Scripture foreseeth. Now, do you see that? The Scripture foresaw. The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. The Scripture actually preached the gospel. Now, what this lets us know is that the Scriptures are eternal. Scriptures alone has always been the message. Scriptures alone. Now, what is meant by the Scriptures? She's bad. What is meant by the Scriptures? Every word in the Bible. Every word in the Bible is inspired by God. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have this book we're looking at that God Himself wrote? All Scripture, this is what the Scripture says about itself. All Scripture. Old Testament, New Testament, Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21. all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. Peter said, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, do you have any trouble at all believing that God created the universe? No. Really, it's the only thing that makes sense. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, the Scripture says, are clearly seen. Clearly seen by everybody. Somebody says, I'm an atheist. Don't believe it. Well, I really am. You don't understand. I still don't believe it. There was at least one time when you weren't an atheist. You might have, through whatever process of reasoning, not liking the God of the Bible, not liking the implications of God being God, you might go, well, there is no God. You might have done that. I realize that. But you haven't believed that way all the time. It's clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, the creation, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, it's easy to believe that God wrote the Bible, inspired men to write it, and He has the power to keep it preserved through the centuries. If you can believe that God created the universe, you can believe that God inspired the Bible. And what would we know of God if we didn't have the revelation of Holy Scripture? Isaiah 8:20. To the law and the testimony. If they speak not according to this word. The Scripture. It's because there is no light in them. I heard David Edmondson give this in an illustration somewhere when I was listening to him preach, and I thought this was a very good illustration of the Scripture. There was a lady, young woman, that was reading a book that she knew was well written, but it was boring. It was boring. She'd grow weary of it and close it and quit reading it. Well, in time, she met a man that she fell in love with. And that man was happened to be the author of that book. And she thought, well, I'm going to look at that book again. And she started reading that book again, and she could not put it down. It was so interesting. Why? Because she now knew the author. You know the author. This book will be everything to you. David said, or whoever wrote Psalm 138, Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. Now the reason, what about catechisms? What about creeds? They're man-made. I don't care how accurate they are, they're still man-made. And it's man's attempt to distill this book so they can make it understandable. Don't need that. When I preach the gospel, I preach the gospel. I don't try to make it understandable to man. I just preach what the word says. And trust God the Holy Spirit to make it understandable. I can't make anybody understand anything. I can't be so clear as to make anything understandable. We trust God the Holy Spirit to do His work in the declaration of His truth. Now when Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Let me tell you what that means. You preach the word from the Word that reveals the Word. You preach the Word, the message of this book, from the written Word that reveals the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's only one message in this book. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the message of this book. Now, there are things we can know about God from the light of creation. I can look out the window and look up at the stars, the sky, the sun, the blue sky, and I can know somebody very powerful made all of this. I can learn that without the Bible, just looking. And nobody made him. Nobody made him. I was talking to a man a couple of years ago, and he was arguing against the existence of God. And I said, well, you can argue all you want, but God is. And he made all this. And he said, well, who made him? I said, nobody. He said, well, I need to know who made God. I thought, he's uncreated. He's the eternal, uncreated God of glory. Now, there's some things we can know about God without the Word of God. But we can't know the true character of God without this book. And here's the most simple illustration I can think of that. Would you ever even guess that God is one God in three distinct persons without the Scripture? What do you think God's like? Well, here's what I think. I think He's one God revealed in three. No, that would never. The only way we know that is because God has revealed that with regard to Himself in His Word. He's one God in three distinct persons, and the Bible gives us God's isness. The Bible gives us the character of God. There's no way that you and I can know the true character of God apart from this Word. What saith the Scripture? That is the issue. I love when we read that the Scripture saith to Pharaoh. Don't you love that? That shows the majesty and awesomeness and glory of God's holy Word. What saith the Scripture? I love the way the Lord said to the Pharisees on numerous occasions, have you never read? That's kind of a dig, wasn't it? Have you never read? When the Lord is dealing with Satan during that threefold temptation, how did he answer every time? It's written. It's written. He didn't have to say that to Satan. He could have just done whatever he wanted to with him. But he's showing us the importance of the Word, the way he dealt with Satan. It is written. With regard to all three temptations, it is written. Now, like I said, the Bible tells us the isness of God. I am that I am. And I've got a Bible that has a marginal reading with I am that I am that says what that implies is I save in the manner which I save. God is known in the manner in which He saves. I love that statement. I don't know Hebrew enough to explain how. I don't know Hebrew at all, so I can't explain how that is. But this one fellow said, the implication of I am that I am is I save in the manner which I save. And that's true. Who God is seen in the manner in which He saves. Now, concerning God's isness, Hebrews 11:6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Not simply that He exists, but that He is. He is what He is. He is who He is. All of the attributes of God are displayed in His isness. For instance, He is omnipotent, according to the Scripture. Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, Revelation 19. That means whatever He wants, He has the power to make to come to pass. He is all-powerful. He is sovereign, according to the Bible. He doeth according to His will, in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay His hand. Nobody can stop Him from doing His will or saying, give an account for yourself. He giveth no account of His matters. He is absolutely sovereign. And we know that from the Scriptures. It's God being God. He's holy. That means He's utterly unlike me and you. He's other. Psalm 50, we considered that a few weeks ago. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. That's where people make their, that's where I make my mistakes, where you make your mistakes regarding God. We think He's like we are. He's not. He's other. He's altogether who He is. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. You can't go anywhere where He's not. Now, this is according to the Scripture. This is the information we get from the Bible with regard to who He is. And aren't you thankful that He's gracious? The Lord God, merciful and gracious, abundant in goodness and truth. Aren't you glad He's good? He's good all the time. I had a man sitting in my study this week saying, if God's all powerful, what about all the sin that goes on in the world? Couldn't He prevent that if He's all powerful? God's good all the time. And whatever He does is good, and I trust Him for that. That doesn't mean I'm indifferent toward the suffering people go through. I'm not indifferent at all. I'm not indifferent about the suffering I go through when I go through it. Lord, deliver me from this. But I do believe this. Whatever God does is good because He's good. He's good all the time. And I trust Him. I don't understand. He knows what He's doing. I don't, but He does. And I'm fine with that. Now, the Scriptures alone give us the character of God. The Scriptures alone give us the true character of man. Turn with me to Genesis 6 for a moment. You know, the whole Bible is seen in light of this verse 5. Every one of us ought to have this committed to memory, and we ought to remember this describes us. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, only the Bible gives us man's true character. There's the evolutionary view. Obviously, it's not in the Bible. Somehow, life just sparked in some primordial stew. And somehow, life just began to be. The chemicals were just right. And all of a sudden, there was life. You know, talking about blind faith, you've got to take a real leap in the dark to believe something like that. But in this evolutionary view, man evolves. He becomes better and better and better and better. And he'll end up being, you know, through the process of evolution, he just keeps improving. Look how far we've come. That's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say, look how far we've come. It says, look how far we've fallen. And then there's the view that just lets, we don't know where man came from, but men are born with kind of a morally neutral. And if we have given the right education, if we give them the right government, and we give them the right control, they'll end up being okay. We just got to give them the right education and the right influences and have the government to have everything right, and we can take care of men and they'll be fine. Well, that's just so wrong. There's nothing true about it. And then this view supposedly comes from the Scripture. Supposedly. Man's sinful, but man is not totally depraved and completely wicked. His will is still free. He can choose the good over the evil. He has the moral ability to accept Christ as his personal Savior, and somehow that'll make things okay for him. Now, that's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture gives truly the character of man that I just read. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. Now the Bible, I don't know how else to put this, but the Bible has one thing. How this glorious, holy God can take an evil man, totally evil, completely evil, and make him perfect to where he has never sinned.
Now turn with me to Romans 3.
Verse 19. Now this is what the Bible, this is the message of the Bible. How God can be just and justify the ungodly. That's the entire message of Scripture. All Scripture is given to show how glorious God is, that He can actually be just and justify someone like me or you who is unjust. That is the message of Scripture. Now look in Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them which are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. The Bible makes no attempt to prove the existence of God. Doesn't need to. But the Bible does tell us our state before God. Guilty with no excuses. That every mouth may be stopped. You can't blame anybody but yourself. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Now, is there anything we can do to change this? Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. No, there's nothing you can do to change that state. If God doesn't do something for you and me, we will remain in that state of guilt before God. Does that mean there's no hope? Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God, underline this in your mind, without the law. Without my obedience, my personal obedience, without me doing something to have this. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Well, how can I know this is true? Give me something that can give me some assurance that this is not pie in the sky. Talking about the righteousness of God without the law. Well, here's how I know it's true. It's witnessed by the law and prophets. This is what the Bible has always taught. Old Testament, their righteousness, God said, is of me. Isaiah 45. This is the name wherewith He shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Genesis 23:6. The Lord our righteousness. This is what the Bible's always taught. The message of the Old Testament comes from the message of the New Testament comes from the Old Testament. And that's what He's speaking of. The Old Testament Scriptures, this is what has always been taught. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even, here it is, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. And look at that word of. It doesn't say by faith in Jesus Christ. Every version I know of, but the King James always calls it faith in Christ. That changes the meaning. It's the faith of Christ. Now remember, every phrase is inspired and said by God just the way He would say it. And when somebody says it's faith in Christ, they're giving a wrong translation of it. Really, they're giving their interpretation of it rather than giving what the Bible actually says, because this is the way it actually reads: by the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. By His obedience, by His faith, He believed God perfectly. He obeyed God perfectly. I'm saved by the faith of Christ. Are you saying faith is not necessary? No, I'm not saying that. You've got to believe that. You've got to believe just that, that you're saved by the faith of Christ. even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Who's this for? Unto all and upon all them that believe. Everybody that believes. Faith is the gift of God. But everybody that believes, they have this righteousness of God. Believe what? Believe what? Well, here's what they believe. There's no difference. There's no difference between men. One man's good as the other, which is not at all. All men are totally sinful. All men, you take the most moral man, the most religious man, and the most morally debauched man, before God, there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being, here's what they believe, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, only the Bible gives this, being justified. Oh, I wish I could say this as it ought to be said. If I'm justified, what that means is before God, I have never sinned. It doesn't mean I have, but God just treats me as if I haven't. If I'm justified, that means I have never sinned. Now, every one of us are thinking, but I have. But I have. How am I supposed to believe that God sees me as though I've having never sinned when I have? Because this is what the blood of Christ did, being justified freely. You don't do anything to get this. By His grace, through the redemption, the sin atoning, the sin removing work of Christ. That's how I am justified. Freely, by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, verse 25, whom God has set forth. And that word is foreordained. He purposed this. This was God's eternal purpose, whom God set forth to be a propitiation, a sin-removing sacrifice through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness, not His mercy, although His mercy is seen, not His grace, although His grace is seen, but to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now that is the message of Scripture. Where is boasting then? What can we take credit for? It's excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing that there is one God which should justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we make void the law through faith? Do we say the law is just useless? No. We establish the law. The only way you honor God's law is by looking to Christ only. You do that, you honor God's holy law. That's the only way God's law is honored. By looking to Christ only. Now that is the message of the Scriptures. Scriptures alone. Not Scriptures and. Not Scriptures and man's thoughts, man's comments, man's opinion. Scriptures alone tell us who God is, who we are, and how He can embrace people like me and you. Okay. Now next time we're going to consider Christ alone.